Good evening, and welcome to our Tuesday evening Bible study. This week we shall start studying and looking at Nehemiah chapter 3. Nehemiah chapter 3 is about the work being done on the gates around Jerusalem, and there are 10 gates mentioned. We shall be looking at these gates one by one, and at the names of the people who were working on the gates. So tonight we start with verses 1 and 2, and that's about the sheep gate.
Nehemiah chapter 3. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it, and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zakur, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasenar build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us. This is the chapter of gates and names, because there are a number of names on record of those who were involved in the work of rebuilding, and the work of rebuilding, repairing, is concerned in chapter 3, with the gates. I want us to spend a little bit of time just on the first gate here this morning, the sheep gate, so that we may meditate upon that. It's very interesting that we should sing, "The King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never," the sheep gate. All in all, there are 10 gates in chapter 3 and 12 gates altogether in the book of Nehemiah. And that's interesting. The 10 gates here would remind us that we are concerned here with God's perfect order. We're concerned with, as we see in the 10 commandments, our responsibility towards God and our responsibility towards others. And if you look at the 10 commandments, there are 4 relating to our responsibility towards God. It's a responsibility of the whole earth, of the whole creation towards God. And there are 6 relating to others, our responsibility to man. Some divide them 5 and 5. So then we are thinking about God's grace if we're looking at 5. But 4 and 6 speaks to us of our response to God, and 6, our response and our responsibility towards others. There are 10 gates here. And when we bring those together, the 4 and the 6 in the 10 commandments, then we have a situation of God's order, divine order, and we have the situation here too of God's perfect order. But it begins, and the work begins, with the sheep gate. They builded the sheep gate. And then as we go through the chapter, we find that the description goes around the city, around the wall, and everything being brought into a position of repair, of restoration. But we start at the sheep gate. We sang, "The King of Love, my shepherd is." This gate, you see, was in the northern part of the wall. And you remember that in those days, beyond that northern wall on Mount Zion, was the temple, which of course was glorious to behold. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. This was the gate through which the sheep went. Which sheep? Those that would be used in sacrifice. We're reminded, of course, in the scripture that the lamb points forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why John could recognize him and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Praise the name of the Lord." The Lamb who died. The Lamb whose life was given for us. Isaiah tells us that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. As a sheep before its shearers is dumb, so opened he not his mouth, but he was led to the slaughter. The Lord Jesus Christ. This is the sheep gate. If you've got a marginal reference, you'll find that in John chapter 5 and verse 2, it refers there to the sheep market. But in the reference, in the margin, it says, or gate, the sheep gate. John chapter 5 and verse 2. Well, what happened there at the sheep market or the sheep gate? This is what happened. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, or gate, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And there was a man there that was impotent, that was paralyzed. And he had an infirmity for 38 years, and no man was with him to help him, to bring him to the waters when they were troubled. But Jesus came along, and Jesus said, will you be made whole? Jesus said to him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now this is tremendous, you see, that on this day of rest, this man should enter into rest. But he found not only healing for his body, but rest for his soul. For he's brought into that position of peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You are made whole, said Jesus. Sin no more. Now this was at the sheep gate. This was at the sheep gate. A man was set free. A man was delivered. A man came into that fullness of life through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very possible that this was the Feast of Pentecost. So there is a speaking not only of forgiveness of sins, but of that full outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There were five porches. That speaks of grace too, doesn't it? This man found grace, for he had done nothing. He'd been there for 38 years in his infirmity. He found nothing. No one to help him. No ability of his own. He was utterly helpless. And yet Jesus came, found him, spoke the words to him, and as the man responded in faith, he found perfect wholeness and liberty in Jesus Christ. And you know, it is at the sheep gate that we too find that liberty, that wholeness. We were helpless, utterly unable to do anything to find wholeness or healing or salvation. There was nobody to help us. None at all. But Jesus came. And he sets us free. Jesus came and spoke the words of life. And as we responded in faith, we found that we received the free gift of salvation. We were made alive. We entered into a glorious Sabbath of rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in our works, but resting in the complete and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this gate speaks of sacrifice. It speaks also of judgment. It was at the gate that in ancient times the elders of the city sat. We read it again and again through the scriptures, that of those that sat in the gate. It was a place of decisions. It was a place of arbitration. It was a place of judgment. And do you know, one time or another, we've got to come to that place of decision. We've got to come to that place of judgment. And praise God, there is one who bore the judgment for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a Redeemer. Remember Boaz? All the negotiations that he underwent and undertook and contracted was in the gate. And he acted as a Redeemer. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. It was a place of judgment. When we're talking about the sheep gate, we're talking about the place of the cross. For it was there that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, suffered and died to take away our sin. It was there that he fulfilled and completed the will of God, where he did the will of the Father. That was his meat. That was what he did. And we can be thankful this morning that it's at the cross that we have entered in to forgiveness and into fullness of life. Jesus said, he said, I am the good shepherd. But Jesus said also, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus Christ is the door. Praise the Lord. This is the sheep gate. He is the door. And we enter in. And having entered in, we find pasture. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to say another couple of things about the gate in a moment. But this is a glorious truth, isn't it? There is no other way of salvation. There is no other starting point but at the door, the true door. They built the sheep gate. And this is where the work starts. Notice, this is the next thing. Notice who is involved in this work at the sheep gate. It is Eliashib, the high priest. Nobody else could begin here. It's the work of the high priest and his brethren, the priests. Now, Eliashib means God will restore. This is a work of restoration. And it is God's work. You see, when we came by the way of the cross, there was no effort of our own involved at all. It was completely, entirely and utterly God's work. God will restore. The Jesus Christ is to us like Eliashib. God will restore. It is God's work of restoration. We had wandered far from him, but he brought us nigh through the shedding of his precious blood. He effected the work of restoration. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. In Hebrews we have seen, as we have gone through Hebrews, that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. In Hebrews chapter 3 it says, consider the apostle and high priest of our calling. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter 4 it speaks about our having such a great high priest. And in chapter 5 there is an exposition of our great high priest, that he is not a high priest after an earthly order, but called after the order of Melchizedek. Eternal, without beginning or ending of days. His work is totally and completely effective and completed. Because he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. God has sworn and will not repent. Praise the name of the Lord. And then in chapter 8 of Hebrews, there is a little summary where it says, this is the sum of the things we have spoken. And yes, verse 1 of chapter 8. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. We have such a high priest. We need such a high priest. One who is perfect in all his ministry, in all his work, in all his intercession. We have such a high priest. Praise God that such a high priest brought us nigh to God. Such a high priest perfectly completed the work of God. Such a high priest himself bore in his body our sin. There's a song we used to sing. In which book? In the Ealing Chorus book. But it's a good song based on the scripture of truth. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and all may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin. When you come as a sinner to Jesus. That's a good gospel chorus. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a way that is open and all may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. I read about the fish gate for a particular reason. Because there's something about the fish gate that you don't read about the sheep gate. And that is this. That with the fish gate, there were beams, there were locks, and there were bars. But there are no locks or bars on the sheep gate. There's a door that is open, and all may go in. And praise God at this present time of grace, of God's working in this world through His Holy Spirit, speaking to men and women, convincing them of sin. The door is open. It is not locked. It is not barred. The only door that is shut is the door of the human heart. But God's door of grace is open. The Lord Jesus Christ has died for all who will believe. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever? No, not anybody, but whosoever believes. Whosoever believes. We can't come in anyway. It's whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And praise God, that door is open. You don't read about locks or bars in verse 1. Just the door. And I want to say this morning that the door is open. The Lord Jesus Christ is available as the Saviour of men and women even today. His blood still avails today for the cleansing of sin. And while we're looking, as we've come around this table this morning, while we're looking for the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is that within us, as the Spirit of God moves in our hearts, to say, may the door still be open for sinners to come in. That's what it says in Peter, doesn't it? That God is not slack concerning His promise, but He is long-suffering. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants to keep that door open to the last possible moment that all may come in. There are no locks. There are no bars. But they sanctified it. Again, this is something which we read specially about the sheep gate. The sheep gate was sanctified. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. There was a work of sanctification here. There was a work of setting this apart. This was a special work. This was a special place. It was a place set apart because it was God's work. And praise God, let us see that as being special, as being set apart, as being sanctified. And as we come through that gate, as we come through that door, then we are coming in a way of sanctification. We too are entering into a place of sanctification, a place of being set apart unto God. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price, set apart for Him and for His use. But here is, again, this is a special gate. The more we look at the sheep gate, the more I look at the sheep gate, the more it stands out that this is a special gate compared with all the others. It's the beginning place. It has no locks or bars. It is sanctified. It's set apart. But it's set between towers. There are two towers mentioned here. Mia and Hananiel. I don't know whether I'm right, but the way I read it, it sounds as though the towers were one on each side. Now a tower is something which speaks of strength, of security, of protection, a place where one can watch from, a tower. One was called Mia and one was called Hananiel. Now Mia is the Hebrew word for 100. 100, being a large number, speaks of strength. But we also find in the scripture that 100 has a special meaning too for us who are believers. We have been brought in through the gate. We're brought in through the door, through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're brought into a position, into a place of strength, of security, where we can see things as we never saw them before. Where we can stand on the tower and look, and we can see, yes, the enemy's outside. The enemy wants to attack, but we're strong, we're secure. And we can watch and we can see all the wiles of the enemy. Because we're in the place that God has placed us in. A high and mighty tower. A strong and secure fortress. I'm trying to think of Martin Luther's hymn now. Ein feste Burg ist unser Gott. There are various translations of it. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. And we're secure and safe because we've been brought into Him. We're abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're abiding in God. We're safe. We are secure. We can see what we never saw before. We've been brought into, as it were, the tower of 100. Strength. Great strength. Let me read the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. 100 also speaks of supreme fruitfulness, doesn't it? Where the seed is scattered on various types of ground. But the seed that's scattered on good ground, it brings forth some 60-fold. But the supreme fruitfulness is 100-fold. 100-fold. Perfect fruitfulness. And I think as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, We're looking at the one who was perfectly fruitful. And as we are abiding in him, we're abiding in the one who is perfectly fruitful. Hallelujah. And if we want to be fruitful in our life, spiritually fruitful, then we must abide in him. We do mix a lot of metaphors up, and we can't help it because there are so many in the scripture of truth concerning these things. But Jesus said you've got to abide in me, the true vine, if you want to bring forth fruit. And if you abide in me, I am the true vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me, then you'll bring forth fruit that will remain. Perfect fruitfulness. And it's because we're in him. 100-fold. There's also mention in Matthew chapter 19 of 100-fold being our reward. Jesus spoke to the disciples who had given up everything to follow Jesus. They'd left wives, they'd left relatives, they'd left land and houses and all the rest of it. And Jesus said, there's nobody who's done all that, who's left all those things, who shall not receive 100-fold a reward. We'll read it together. Matthew 19 and verse 29. It's a precious promise, you see. Everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. We're in a place of supreme reward, supreme fruitfulness, but of supreme reward. Not because we deserve it, but because Jesus has accomplished and acquired it on our behalf. We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're heirs because Jesus Christ is the heir. We deserve it because he deserves it. And he deserves everything because he is the well-beloved Son of God. And because we're in him, we deserve it. Not of ourselves. We haven't earned anything ourselves. A reward is given for something done. And we haven't done anything that deserves a reward. But Jesus has. And as we're abiding in him, we receive the reward. Great reward. 100-fold. Bless the Lord. And we see that the disciples were promised this reward. That as they turned their back on all that was valueless, they were actually looking to great reward. They were putting their faith and trust in one who was a great reward. But there is another 100 in Scripture, in the New Testament, relating to sheep. And this is the sheep gate. The sheep gate. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. But one was out on the hills, away, far off from the gates of gold, away in the mountains, dark and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care, away from the tender shepherd's care. And the song, which is based on Scripture, goes on to tell how the shepherd went out into the mountains, dark and thunder-riven, until he found the sheep and brought it back again. Well, of course, that's all based on the parable that Jesus told. But the shepherd, the good shepherd, goes after the sheep that is lost, goes down to where it is, and brings it back on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when that sheep is brought in, there is the complete number again, safely in the fold, in the tower of strength. The 100 speaks of the full number brought in. And you know we're going to see that. We're going to see that. When the Lord comes again and the church is caught up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, that will be when the full number is brought in. Hallelujah. We praise the name of the Lord that Paul spoke in Romans that the fullness of the Gentiles must be brought in. And when that church is made up complete, both Jew and Gentile, and the last person brought in, the Lord Jesus Christ will come again for his church and will be caught up to be with him in the air. We're in that place of strength and security, and we're in the fold because the shepherd has brought us in. And what did Jesus say when he was speaking in John chapter 10, is it? John chapter 10, about the sheep. He says that they're in my hand. And none is going to pluck them out of my hand. And none is going to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We're secure in him. Hallelujah. What a mighty tower that is. But there's another tower here. It is the tower Hananiel. And Hananiel speaks of God having favoured. God, Reuben mentioned this in his prayer this morning, stooping down in great and marvellous condescension. That is the meaning of the word. It's God favouring us. What a tower that is. The grace of God. The mighty work of God in stooping down to meet us where we were. to lift us up out of our sin. The Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself. Praise the name of the Lord. And so we have that great tower of God's grace. And that tower of 100 is there because of God's grace. Because of what God has done for us. In the temple there was a porch. And the porch had two pillars. And the pillars were of brass. Brass speaks of judgment again. But they had names. One pillar was called Jachin. And the other pillar was called Boaz. Jachin means he will establish. He will make it sure. And Boaz means in it is strength. Do you see? It's the same setting forth of God's work. In the place of God's judgment has perfectly been poured out. God's wrath has been poured out in judgment, rather, and has been perfectly met by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God's work is perfectly established because it's founded and based upon God's grace entirely. And in it is strength. 100. Praise the name of the Lord. What a marvellous place the sheep gate is. What wonders it speaks to us. And I'm sure that there are many more things that we could examine this morning which would bring out again and again, truth after truth, concerning that great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's look briefly at verse 2 as well. Because next to the high priest and the priests, next to him builded the men of Jericho. And next to them builded Zaccur, the son of Imri. The men of Jericho, I don't know who they were, except to say this, that Jericho was a place which since the time of Joshua had been under a curse. Remember that Joshua had pronounced that curse upon Jericho. That whoever built Jericho would build it in his firstborn. That it would involve the death of the firstborn of whoever built it. And that actually came true. That actually happened. But it was a place that was under the curse. Don't let anybody build it again. A city of rubble. And here we find the men of Jericho in this later time, when the people had returned to the land, there were some who went to live in Jericho. But here they are, men from a city under a curse, joyfully, enthusiastically building with the others. What a privilege that is. And you see, that's the privilege we've been brought into. We were men and women who were under the curse. We were under the curse. The wages of sin is death. We had no hope, no God in this world. But praise God, God's mercy and grace was made available to us. And we were set free from that curse. We were brought from under that curse. Christ suffered and died on the cross. He became a curse for us. Whoever hangs upon a tree, it says in Deuteronomy, is accursed. He became a curse for us, that we might be set free. Hallelujah. That we might be brought into the blessing of God. That we might, like the men of Jericho, rejoice in the work of God. In building up the things of God. Being workers together with him. Workers together with our great high priest. Bless the Lord. What a privilege that is. And Zaccur, the son of Imri. Ah, well, he's a man who's recorded, you see. His name means held in remembrance. Remembered. Recorded. Yeah, that's tremendous too, isn't it? That each one of us who have come in through that sheep gate, through the Lord Jesus Christ, who rejoice in these great towers that have been brought before us, of God's grace and of God's strength, each one of us, God knows us. Everyone, we are recorded in heaven. We're not non-entities. Oh yes, ordinarily speaking, we are nothing. We're less than the dust of the earth, as it says in the scripture. But we have been brought up, we've been raised up from the dust. That's Charles West's carol, isn't it? Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ came for. To raise us up. That we should be no longer less than nothing. But that we should be sons of the living God. So John says in his epistle, beloved, now are we the sons of God. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We have an inheritance. We're remembered. We're recorded. Our names are written in the book of life. What did Jesus say to his disciples when they came back rejoicing because they'd seen the sick healed, the dead raised, the demons cast out, even the devils are subject to your name, and we've seen them cast out? Jesus said, rejoice in this rather, that your names are written in heaven. And what is written in heaven is written forever, everlastingly written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that when we stand before the Lord, we will stand before him because our names are written in the Book of Life. Not because of anything we have done, but because our names are in his book. We record it because of what he has done. What a glorious place the sheep gate is. The King of Love, my shepherd is. His goodness faileth never. I nothing lack while I am his. And he is mine forever. Hallelujah.
Well, that's all for tonight. But join us next week for the next section, which is chapter 3, verses 3 to 5. And that's about the fish gate. Look forward to meeting you then.